biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Vegas Bad Boys present a special presentation from MLW, Savio Vega.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting. We have a special guest, but let me first introduce our other Vegas Bad Boy, Simon Street. How are you?
How's everybody doing today? Hopefully everything is crisp.
That's what I'm talking about. Matt Michaels, how are you?
Doing great and can't wait to get to this interview.
Can't wait either. We even have our honorary bad boy with us, Don Ramon. How are you?
I'm hanging. I'm really happy to be here. Really glad to get to talk to Savio Vega and hang out with you guys.
That's right. That's right. And yes, he just gave it away. Our special guest is Savio Vega. The man has worked in WWE, IWA, TNA. He works for a lot of different promotions. He's been in the game for a long time. We happy to have him with us. Everyone, Savio Vega.
Woo! Hey. All right. Hey, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. And it's a pleasure. Un gusto para mí estar aquí en Vegas Boys. Es un placer. Gracias. Thank you.
Muy bien.
De nada.
Y Savio, te voy a dar la introducción en español también, para que toda la audiencia tenga acceso, ¿sí? Bueno, aquí acompañándonos desde Vega Alta, Puerto Rico, una leyenda en la lucha libre puertorriqueña y a nivel mundial, luchando cada país del mundo, acompañándonos aquí, la leyenda, Savio Vega.
Muchas gracias. Gracias.
Nice. Perfecto. So I guess I'll go ahead and start with my first question because they're all looking at me. So pleasure to have you on the show, Savio. You know what? I'm just going to get right into it. What is with all of this long years of experience, what is the one moment where you knew you wanted to get into this business?
Well, the moment where I want to get in this business was when I turned this small black and white TV back in, I don't know what year right now. I was let's say 10 years old.
Okay.
To be honest, I turned that TV about 5 o'clock in the afternoon and was Titanes en el Ring, Titan of the Ring, that come from Argentina.
Wow.
Was like, was a wrestling with characters. All the wrestlers was characters, no?
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. You got the STP guy. He come in a Formula One car, pushing by people. And he have the costume. You got the black mummy. You got the white mummy. You got the preacher. I mean, it was characters. Actually, the persons, on the characters. And they jump in that rain. So 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was surfing through the channels. Here in the island when I was a kid, and here the show started, and that was like a flash into my brain, man, and I went like, wow, and I started watching that. Every Sunday, I have to go rush home to watch my show,
wow.
And then later, through the years, with the other kids in school, we talk about Titans of the Ring, and then the local wrestling come up, and I knew I want to do that. I like that, and I want to go there. I want to, I was looking how to get there, but as a kid, just watch wrestling. Then I went to live shows with different people. Then I see all the shows that was running in my hometown or nearby, I have to go, and I say, I want to do that. And I went to the martial arts, and one friend, by that time I was 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
A friend of mine, he left for a year, you know, he went on vacation, you know, he went out of the martial arts, and he come back a year later, and we are stretching, and I don't know, from nowhere I asked the question, I said, what do you do, what happened? He said, I went on vacation, I was wrestling. I said, yeah. I said, you what, doing what? You know, wrestling. I grabbed him by the kimono, brother. I remember that. I grabbed him by the kimono. Said, "You have to take me there. I want to go there. I want to train there. I want to be a wrestler." And he said, "Like, okay, I'm gonna take you. You know, but let me go. Let me go." So I say, "Okay." You know, then he took me to the town, and brother, almost 35 years later, I'm still running. You know, in this wow. business, I mean, I love it.
When we're talking about the start of your career, and as you left for your training, you know, what was some of those you know, early memories you had as you began your career? We know that your dad, you know, wasn't too fond of you going, but it's something you definitely had a passion for. Those things, those places, like
Carlos. Yeah, when this friend took me to the you know, where the gym was Dorado and Vega Alta is a town next to you know, each other, and he took me there. When I arrived there, it's a small gym, it's a the town gym, that by that time was the town gym, a small place. When you come in, and the left side was the weights, and the right side is this ring, small ring. They use it for boxing in the morning, and they use it for wrestling in the afternoon. That's in where all the guys got together about 6 o'clock, and they start training. So when they took me there, I went there like, wow. You know, I saw the ring there, small ring, all beat up, you know. And I say, okay, you know. So my first mistake that they teach me that the hard way was Chicky Starr. I remember he was there that day. I went in the middle of the road. You know, they told everybody, you know, to get together here. So when I went to the middle of the road, here comes Chicky with an elbow right in the front, right in my center of my chest.
Oh,
boom, wow. You know, wow. And I took a bump, and he's like, "You never stand up in the middle of the ropes." Whoa, okay, wow. You know what you don't told me, but you know, memories. I wrestle in the same town. Maybe 6 months later or something like that, I had my first match. You know, I learned quick because with doing the wrestling training and doing the taekwondo, working on my gym, I have ability. So at the same time, I love wrestling. I want to learn fast. I see things that they don't have to tell me. They try to keep in secret a couple of things, you know, but I knew it. I say, I want to do this. No matter what happened, I want to do this, you know. So, secretos y cositas que pasaron conmigo en la lucha cuando llego a este gimnasio que es en Dorado, Puerto Rico, un pueblo cerca del mío. Llego allá a entrenar, el lado izquierdo tenía las pesas y el lado derecho era el gimnasio, que era un ring que había. Estaba todo tronado, pero ese era nuestro ring, ¿no? Ahí cuando yo empecé a aprender. Oh, by the way, I don't have like one person that I say, that's my teacher. I have everybody in that gym help me a little bit. What happened is, that I don't know it, you know, maybe after six months after I have my first match, they closed the gym. They're like kind of a tire. They went to switch the building. They want to destroy that building, you know, to make another one. And so they closed the gym. So I start working in different places, you know, with a small companies around the my area, behind that building was another, you know, big building for wrestling or for basketball, but was open. nobody charged to come in. And that's when I have my first match. Wasn't almost in front of 1,000 people because it was a carnival. It was a carnival in the, in town, and they do wrestling every time they do this. So my first match was in front of a big crowd. You know, and I wasn't nervous. I know what I want to do this, and I win by DQ. You know, I throw me over the top rope, blah blah blah. You know, and happy for my first match. Then from there on, hey, I start wrestling everywhere. You know, the new kid was making noise. You know, everybody booked me. I was happy for that. The guys helped me. The old timers, like I said, they helped me a lot to book me in different places. You know. But man, I love it. I love wrestling, to be honest.
And you got the experience with some of the best guys around, like Miguel Perez, Abdullah the Butcher, Manny Fernandez. Yes. I mean, is there someone that sticks out to you who you would think out of all the, you know, the legendary people that you wrestled with, coming up and being a new kid? Was there someone that sticks out as being your favorite person to, you know, to wrestle with?
Well, you know, once I come into the big company here in Puerto Rico by that time, which was WWC.
Yeah.
That was the big company because they have TV. Right. The rest of the companies don't have TV. So they know what they're doing, and they have the money to run. So all the special stuff that happened there, thanks to Gorilla Monsoon, you know, that was putting money there too. While Carlos was one of the people that have the percentage, and Jerica and all that people. So they start doing wrestling with the brain and televise it, and the people got hooked. You have every Saturday, brother, you got 10,000 people, 5,000, 8,000 people in buildings. It's full down, because what they doing was great. So once I got close to the company through the security, first I was paying my ticket, then I went get close to with the security people because two uncles and one cousin was working with them, and I didn't even know it. So when I saw them when I visited one of the shows, I'll get close to them. Then later I say, you have to take me there. You know where to go. So I was the wrestling in TV. I got hooked with what they're doing. Then I called in. I went to the house. They, are you going? Do you go? You working tonight? He said yes. Can I go with you? I said yes. So I was going free. You know. Then later, I started working with the security. You know, so I was even closer, doing like bodyguard with the guys, taking care, because the people here in Puerto Rico by that time, they believe it big time, and they throwing tough to the wrestler. They want to hit the wrestler because the heat, you know, the heat or whatever they do, they believe it big time. I mean, a hardcore, brother. So we fight every weekend. We have a fight with fans. We fight every I mean, one, maybe two, three fights. You know, sometimes the big Royal Rumble, everybody on top, and oh my God, was heavy. So all the guys, all the security was heavy people. You know, the know how to fight boxing, martial arts. I mean, you have crazy security guards. So for crazy people, you need to have crazy guys.
This is true.
I mean, yeah. So we. I said because I was there and I know what I'm talking about. So when I start Isaac Rosario, which I thanks him many, many million times. He's the one saw me wrestle one time in his hometown, and he'd say, "Well, I like the way you wrestle. I didn't even know you wrestle." I said, "Yeah." So I said, "I'm going to talk to Carlos." So he talked to Carlos, and they say, "Well, if you wrestle, we'd like to have you here. Go Wednesday." This is a Saturday, and he say, "Go Wednesday to do TV."
Wow.
I said, "Okay." So Wednesday I was there to do jobs, you know, and that's my first time now from being in the crowd, being in the security. I'm inside the dressing room now with these superstars, you know. So I start working, doing my jobs. I work with the Estrada Senior, which was the super medic by the time. I did a tag team match with one of the Bret Hart's brother that he was living here in Puerto Rico. And I did another match. I don't remember who was, to be honest. But that's my story when I started. So every Saturday, they booked me. They booked the new kid. So the kid was learning, you know, step by step. And doing jobs here, there, whatever, and with my taekwondo skills, so I start mixing the kicks and stuff like that. So here they say they are gonna send me to Tennessee. the booker by that time was Luke Williams, the Sheepherders.
Yeah,
and and he wanna send me to Tennessee. What happened there? that's when I say to my dad. And my mom said, "Hey, they're going to send me to Tennessee to wrestle." And my dad said, "What? You go where?" I say, "Tennessee." He said, "No, you don't go there. There's a lot of races there. I need to speak Spanish." And they, you know, I'm like, "What? I don't even know what race it is. I was concentrating in wrestling." And I said, "I want to wrestle."
Right.
So I said to my mom, "I'm going." And she says, okay, don't tell him. He said, "I'm going. I don't know what, but I'm going." So they canceled Tennessee. I don't know what happened there. So they said, "They're going to send you to Louisiana." He said, "That's even worse."
I should know. I'm from Louisiana.
He's like, "No way." I said to my mom, "I'm going. Don't worry." No, so now they got me my ticket. I went, I wrestled for Bill Watts.
Yeah.
So they flew me. I remember it was a Friday, and we arrived. I don't remember. I think it was Atlanta. Then from there, I went to Baton Rouge. They had a small airport there. So when we arrived there, what happened? No bags.
So
no speaking, wow. Brother. The only English that was speaking by that time was tackle, drop down, hip toss, and stuff like that. That's my English. that's what I understand, you know. I could understand a little bit, but to talk was like, oh my God. Still, you know. So what happened when I became a DJ? I'm like, okay, now what I do. So I hear these Cuban people talking Spanish. You know, I know they're Cuban because I asked them, you know. I say, "Hey, you do, you know, Puerto Rican?" He said, "No, we're Cuban." I say, "I hear you talking the something happened with the bags, you know, in Spanish." I say, "Yeah, the bags come in the next fly. They come, blah, 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 blah." I said, "Okay, good." So I'm waiting for somebody that's going to pick me up. Who's supposed to pick me up was Chrisley Smith, Jay the Snake's father.
Okay.
So, wow.
And I was waiting there, but no bags. And they say the bags come in and explain about 9 o'clock. I said, "Wow." So, all right, I just waiting there. The bags arrive. I got my bags. So now panic start getting on me. I'm like, okay, nobody's come to get me. I'm looking nervous, you know, what I'm going to do? So I jump in and I grab a phone and I call my mom. And, you know, I call home, but my mom pick it up and say, nobody's picking up. I'm going to buy another ticket, and I go back home. You know, she say, no. Yeah. She say, no, stay there. Stay there. Somebody's going to come. You know, you see, everything's going to be okay. I say, okay. So I call Luke Williams, but, well, by that time, it was no cell phones, just home phones. So I tried to get in touch with him. You know, and somebody in home said, no, they went to Ponce. Ponce is in the other side of the island.
Oh, man.
South area. So they have a show over there. They start at 8:30. It's like 1 hour difference, you know, the East Coast, I believe so. So I just wait. The airport closed at midnight. So it was another guy there and me. What happened is Chris Smith was in Alexandria. They have a show over there. So I have to wait. And about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, around that, I got in touch with Luke. And Luke say, okay, somebody's going to get you. He's coming. They have another show, blah, blah, blah. So, at midnight, they throw there was another guy there, and they throw us out of the airport. So, you guys got to go out of the airport. It's like, what? So, about 1 o'clock, I'm outside of the airport. They turn all the lights off there, dark.
Oh, man.
And I just sit down there. Somebody picked the other guy, took the guy out. I'm by myself there. I say, okay. Now my defense in Taekwondo come onto my head, how to jump on somebody if somebody get close to me. So I'm there like, all right, ready to fight. Anything, whatever move, I'm going to get it. So I'm right there, and here come in a white Impala, four doors, Christian Smith, big guy. He comes and says, hey, kid, how you doing? I'm Christian Smith. He say, I said, okay, good. I said, how you doing? Put my bag there. So he took me. Now, in the way from the airport to the hotel, he's talking to me. And tell me what the hell. I didn't even know what the hell he's talking. He just talking and he's like, okay, yeah, uh-huh. You know? So finally we arrived at the desk and he's playing me. Skandor Akbar is going to be your manager. He's going to pick you up tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. You know, I thought they're going to pay the hotel. I say, you have to pay your hotel. I'm like, okay. Oh, and he looked at me like, okay, you have to pay. I say, okay, yeah, but nothing. So the lady saw what happened, and she starts speaking Spanish. She said, okay, this is what happened. I said, oh, my God, yes. So she held me, I paid the hotel for one night, you know, and next day, Skandor Akbar was there. So stories from my first trip to Louisiana, I love it. I enjoy it. That's when I met Ted DiBiase, John Dog, Haxel, Jim Duggan, Jake the Snake, which I'm very happy and grateful that he helped me a lot with my English. You know, he took me by my hand and teach me. You know, when the big finishes come, he was there with me and explained me step by step everything.
Wow.
You know, and very, very, very happy every time I saw him and hugging. And you know, I told him, you know, what he did for me, and I'm happy, you know, to be there. My first show with them was in the big Superdome. That's the one there, Louisiana, no?
Yeah,
New Orleans.
Superdome. They have a big show there, big time. And I have listen to this. Yeah, I have to. The dressing room is, I don't know, it's a huge building. So the dressing room was somewhere in that building. So they say, okay, you have to come in, and what you're going to do, you're going to run there inside the ring, and you're going to kick Bill Watts, and they do whatever, and you just kick him and go back. So, all right? So Bill Dundee is the booker. So he took me all the way. We took a little golf car. And we went all the way to this area, and I used glasses. blind. Wow. And he say, "You see the ring?" I say, "No," because there's a lot of people around. He said, "Okay, straight there, straight there. You're gonna run when I told you, and go inside, kick Bill West, and get out." I said, "All right." So he say, "All right, ready?" He said, "Yeah." Now the nerve, I start shaking a little bit. He said, "Go, brother. If it look like I'm going to do a touchdown, I'm running. And now I'm getting closer and closer. Now I see they have a big fence, you know, the rails. Oh, no. And I'm looking for a hole, running like a maniac. I'm looking for a hole to go through. Oh. No holes. So I jumped the fence. Oh, no. I went inside through the people, jump inside the ring, kick Bill Watts. Down he go. When I get out of there, I don't know where to run, and I jump on the table. They have a table next to the ring. I'll destroy the table. Wow. What? So here I'm running out of the ring, and I saw this police. I mean, to me, you know, it was like here in Puerto Rico. He's a security guy, but he's right in the middle. I punched that guy.
Okay. We curse all the time.
He took a bump. And I started running. So once I get inside the dressing room, you know, okay, Bill and Lee say, "Good, great, great, good timing, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Yeah." Here come about 10 police. Oh, man. Looking for me, brother. And what happened? He said, "Big everybody, blah, 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 blah," running and yelling and moaning, and you know. So what happened? And here come this to me and say, "Hey, come on." He called me and said, "What? Do you hit the police?" I said, "What? I didn't know what." "Oh. You hit the police." "Yes, I hit the guy." He say, "Well, they're here because you hear it, and that's an assault, and you're going to get arrested." I say, "What?" He said, "Yes, you go to jail." I said, "Oh, no." So this, I'm talking to the big, I don't know, was a sergeant or Hello. Somebody there. So they say they want to arrest me. And so the office people start talking to them, and he say, "You got to come and apologize." You know, I say, "Yeah." I say, I'm sorry, you know, my broken Spanish and English. So they say, he don't speak good English, you know. He say, "Okay, but you hit him, you don't have to hit him, he's the police," and blah, blah, blah. He say, yeah. He say, "Yeah, I'm sorry." So one of the guys tried to go, you know, got kind of funny, and one of the people from the office say, "Enough." He say, "I'm sorry, what do you want?" You know. So now the things go another way, and they grab me and say, "Get out of here." They put me in the dressing room and said, "Go in." So good, I'm free. He say, they Chris me say, "Do not touch another police, please." You know, say, "Okay, no problem." You know, we listen to this. You guys, I know you guys remember Buzz Sawyer.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I love Buzz Sawyer, man. I love Buzz Sawyer. We are one time in this small building, some place over there, and dressing room small. The building was small, it was full, and I finished work and have my mask. So all the time, the guys here in Puerto Rico say, "Watch the matches all the time. Watch right. the matches. That way you learn, you know, and blah, blah, blah." So I said, "Oh, yeah." So I start watching this match, and next to me was the cafeteria right there. Uh-huh. So I got the door a little bit open watching the match. I noticed this little girl is looking at me, and she's like afraid because I was using a mask. Look, at that time, I used the name El Colsario. So she looked at me. I went like, I just right there, brother, I didn't even bend down. I just stand up right there, and I saw her, and I said, "Boo." You know, to her. So when I said "boo," she hi, you know, and say something to the mom, you know. Oh, no. And I don't know what she say. So soon that happened, watching the matches. I didn't even notice what happened after, but the mom went to the police and say that I was molesting the little girl.
Oh no.
So yes, I'm watching, and here come the police open the door, and he have you know, have the stick, have another thing, and he pushed me, you know, to my belly. Boom! When he hit me, I went back, and I was ready to fight. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? So here, when I did that, he say, "What do you do to the little girl?" I remember that. What do you do to the little girl? I'm like, I understand little girl, you know. So for me in Spanish, la niña pequeña, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So and it's like, what do you do to her? I say, what? So he tried to lock Buzz Sawyer, because dressing room have like a little cage.
Oh,
so
no.
He tried to lock Buzz Sawyer. We sit down in one of the cages inside there, ready for his match. And he want to lock him there. And also you look at and kick that door, brother. So what the fuck you doing? And you know, he say, he was molesting the little girl. He say, he don't molest nobody. I say, brother, what happened? I say, no, well, I saw the little girl, you know, in my broken Spanish and English. And I say to her, boo, you know, and she's scared. And he says, he never touched the little girl. Say no. And the police tried to get, you know, more physical. Oh. And both saw your brother. He pushed me to the side and confront that police. And he started yelling and bitching, get the fuck out of here, you motherfuckers, blah, 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 you know. And he threw them out. Get the hell out of here, you know. And the guy went back, you know, and throw them out of the dressing room. He said, you stay with me now. Okay, wow. And when we leave, we stay together. Wow. I say yes, no problem. You know, yeah. I'm like, okay, you know. I say, hey, I know when to Tennessee. So they, right. they in when we left the building, they took care of me. I said, let's get out of here. We left, you know, and I say, wow. So I start try to learn more English every day, yeah. every day. I was just there for almost 4 to 5 months. That's when almost all the talent was hired for by Vince,
right,
to go, you know, Ted DiBiase left, all the actual Dean Duggan. One of the last was Jay the Snake.
Yeah.
And the territories went down a little bit, you know, step by step. So I'm left, and another guy from Puerto Rico went there, and he stayed there longer than me. So when I was I went back to Puerto Rico, and 6, 7, 8 months, and then they sent me to Mexico. In Mexico, mm-hmm. I was there the same for 4 to 5 months. I went back to Puerto Rico. That's when they did this experiment of TNT.
Right.
So they said to me, okay, you have to cut your hair. I said, cut your hair, let's paint your face, and we're going to call you TNT. Yeah. I said, what? What is that? And I said, you're going to cut my hair? And I said, no, I got my afro, brother. How are you going to cut my afro? So they say, no, you have to cut your hair. So I said, okay. I went back home. And I said to my wife, okay, I have to cut my hair. And I said, she said, well, cut your hair? Why? Because, you know, I tried to explain. And I said, well, if it's going to work, I'm going to do it. So here come. I shaved my head. Next day, I was getting sun to get, you know, a little tan. I went to the office. They saw me, look at me, and laugh a little bit, you know. And they say, well, you have to paint your face. And we do a lot of experiments. I did a lot of experiments with different painting and how we're going to paint. I was drawing in the paper, drawing the face of the people, how to, you know, do the painting.
Yeah.
You know, how I'm going to do my modeling. What is it? How I'm going to, como se llamaría?
El modelo.
Yeah. Exactamente.
So yeah, talking about like the character model and how he was going to design and come up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I got the paper and the faces of the photos. I started doing drawing what I want to do. So once I got that, the experiment of the TNT, they say, well, let's see, is war gonna work? Here, I'm coming in Cataño. Cataño is another town and by the north of Puerto Rico. I wrestled there all the times doing jobs, you know, for everybody. So this is my my breaking point,
yeah.
Where Invader number one, Jose Gonzalez, he was walking towards with, you know, he's walking with me towards the entrance, and he said, well, this is the opportunity. If you make it, good. If you're not, you're out.
Wow.
Said, you got just one, this opportunity. I said, don't worry. I know what I'm going to do. I got this. And I knew it. I knew it because in my head, I trained for that. So this is my opportunity, the big opportunity that I have to do something. So a profe, Angelo Rivera, they put it with me together. So here we go outside. I did three matches for TV that night. And I know they send the kids. I wrestled with them before, with two of them. They send them to shoot me. To let's see, you know, if he passed the test. But already I have almost 2 years working with many other guys, you know, in Puerto Rico, then Mexico, then Louisiana. So I got I was having the experience already.
Right.
So they tried to stop me. I said, nobody gonna stop me. This is my opportunity. I'm the heel. I'm the boogeyman there. So I did my match. They give me the time. Let's go home. And I did my job. And the people start, ooh, who's this? So the story with TNT later, because the company lose the big top heel. So they don't have a heavy heel. So they start making me that top heel. So almost for a year, I didn't even lose a match. And all the time was that we won Carlos Colon, the Universal title,
right.
And blah, blah, blah. And every time I beat everybody. Everybody in the roster, I beat everybody. The kick, the Cobra Clutch, sleep, you know, all the jobbers, you know, it's nobody left. So the story with Carlos, we did that, and we went to an Iversari show, and we sold out the Lubriel Stadium.
Wow!
And next to that building was the the Ruben Rodriguez Coliseum, and by screen was half full too.
You know,
so people was watching in two buildings, and Hugo Sabinovich told Carlos. This is the opportunity. Put the kid over. Hurt yourself 6 months out. You rest. You know, and we bring meat to the kid. Put the kid strong. Then you come back. We have another big house. And wow. Carlos said, no, we cannot do that. We cannot do that. Mm. And he said, we go 1 hour draw. So that was my first hour draw. You know, and a big time, big show. So we went 1 hour, and week after we come back to the same building, and nobody there. The people was pissed because the story that they waiting for was the new kid win or Carlos win.
But right. Mm-hmm.
They want me the win because my character TNT here in Puerto Rico went strong big time because my Taekwondo skills.
Right.
They never see the other martial arts gimmicks come to Puerto Rico, but nobody was doing the right way the kicks. The kicks
right.
was, you know, okay, well, he throw a kicks. But the way I was doing the kicks, because I was big time stretch, high kicks, doing spin and kick and doing crazy. By that time, nobody was doing that. So,
Savio, really quick.
See.
So you actually were doing essentially strong style before anyone even came up with that idea of what it was called.
Yeah. Matches that I could call strong style was with Carl Moffat. Jason, he's from Canada. We have brother matches wow, we beat the hell out of each other. ¿Cómo se llama? Le disloqué la quijada tres veces.
Oh, he dislocated his jaw three times.
Oh,
three wow. times.
Oh,
yeah, to Jason. Because oh, man. We hit each other hard. The first time, listen to this. The first time that I met Carr, I come from Japan. Friday, I arrived Friday, Saturday, I'm in Caguas, Puerto Rico. So my match is TNT against Jason the Terrible. Oh, terrible Jason. So okay, the guys what, 6'6", 6'7", you know. So hey, how you doing? Blah blah blah. I have a match. So I don't know him, he don't know me. So he wanna make the big impact too, you know. In this moment he moved, he gave me a slam, he went to the top row to give his he used a hockey mask. The old ones,
yeah,
you know, the ones that look like mm-hmm. the Jason,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here he come, jump from the top to give me a headbutt in my chest, but wasn't a headbutt in my chest. He come all the way and he knocked me out. I was down waiting for that. He just crushed me, boom, you know, and I went out for a second. So soon he do that, boom. I just out for a second. Then I jump, boom, ooh, you know, it's like coming from a dream. And I remember that I just went on four, you know, and I start breathing deep. That wasn't the first time that happened, you know, a knockout in wrestling. So I start breathe hard. Now once I got the timing right there, brother, I get up and I start kicking that man like a maniac. I start beating the hell out of him. Bing, boom, but kick. I mean, straight kicks. I'm black belt in Taekwondo, and that my teacher teach me how to beat somebody hard, you know. So I start kicking that man. Bing, boom, 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 boom. So we no fight. Just I give him back the receipt, you know. And we finish. From that moment on, that man and me, we had the best matcher ever. We work hard, big time. I have a big cicatrice scarf in the middle of my forehead because we did a match. And that week, we wrestled 7 days. For 2 weeks, we 14 days straight around the island because the business was so good. Everywhere we go, it was sold out. So I never teach it. And every night, that son of a bitch hit me with a mask, and I was bleeding.
Oh,
every
man.
Night.
Wow.
You know, I said, no, brother, it hurt. You know, hurt me already. So I, you know, put, you know, clean it, you know, put a tape and, you know, nice. And next night, boom, again. You son of a bitch. So, I have fun with all these people here. And like you say, you guys said this before, I wrestle big names. I got the opportunity to work with Iron Sheik, the Samoans, Afansika.
Yeah.
I work with both. You know, one of my favorites all the time was Bruce Brody.
Yeah.
You know, I work with him, have the chance to work with him here.
And
Nagasaki.
Savio, yes. Really quick then, since we brought up Bruce Brody, what are your memories, A, of working with him, and B, what happened that night that Brody, passed away?
Yeah. The memory when I saw Brody the first time here in Puerto Rico, working as a security, and I saw him, and I loved that character, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, and because he was all over the place, here, there. So my job was taking care of the man, nobody hitting or somebody come and cut him or whatever.
Yeah.
So everywhere he moved, I was right there next to him. Everywhere he moved here and he jump over there, I'm next to him, you know, taking care of him. So this is before I was a wrestler for the company. Once I'm with the company, I have the chance. I say always, I say, I love to work with him one day. So they booked me, him and me, in Moca, which is for the west side area of the island. And we have this match, so we went outside to wrestle, and we went to the crowd. When I went to the crowd, listen to what that man did to me. We are, you know, back and forth, and he grabbed me by my neck and pulled me from my side to his side. Wow. And when I noticed, was a man behind me with a knife to cut me.
Oh.
And Frank grabbed me, and, you know, like a dance, from left to side to right. And wow. He pushed me to the side. When I looked what happened, I saw the man with the knife in the hand.
Wow.
So I'm like, what the heck? So right there, we went to the we jumped the rail back to the ring, and we finished our match, you know, and I thanked him many, many times.
Yeah.
One day, one of these many, many times, Carlos called me and said, can you pick up Brody at the hotel and take it to Ponce? I said, yeah. They are 5 minutes away from the building, but they don't want to take nobody. You know, they're kind of ass.
Yeah.
So I was leaving about 45 minutes from San Juan area, you know, an hour maybe. So I went there. I pick him up, and let's go to Ponce. And we talk, we chat, and this and that. This day that we coming back, I took Abdullah a couple of times too. So this day, Frank said to me, T, you have a great opportunity in this business. Don't stay here in the island. Go to the States.
Yeah.
You could wrestle over there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a, you know, you good. I say, yeah, well, thank you, you know. And we talked, was like almost 2 hours, you know, coming from the other side of the island, and we talking. And then all of a sudden this day, when this gaga happened in the Lubriel Stadium, you know, bad, still, what, 20-some years later, no?
30, you know, 30 like now, a, yeah. 30 years
30,
later.
30.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I'm a kind of a person that when you like or love somebody, I don't want to even see you at the casket. I prefer myself continue to remember you as the last time I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
So I even went to the funeral parlor, you know, and I want to see him there because I love that guy. You know, He was sincerity, with me when he say, "Hey, you have what you need in this business, and you could grow. You know, go out. You know, work." I worked with him in Japan too. Abdullah the Butcher took me to Japan my first time. I remember that night, that afternoon, we coming to Aguadilla, to the west side area, and listen to this. I live in the north area, so I got to go back 45 hours to pick one of the guys to go, you know, past my house again to go to the other side. So, you know, because I'm there, I'm part of the boys, you know. So Abdullah say, "Hey, kiddo." I say, "What?" He say, "You like to go to Japan?" I said, "Fuck yeah!" You know, I say, "What's my dream?" I hear all the time. Abdullah, oh, he's in Japan, and Brody, oh, they're coming from Japan. Stan Hansen, they're coming from Japan, and they're gonna do the show. I'm like, I'd love to go to Japan, you know. And I saw the magazines and Victor Quiñones' house and stuff like that. I said, I'd love to go to Japan. So when Abdullah say that, I said, yes. I said, well, let me talk to Carlos. I said, okay. They took me there for the biggest tournament, Baba's office, Old Japan Pro Wrestling.
And this is and this is your first time in Japan.
My first time.
Wow, and you're going straight to Baba's office. Holy crap.
Yes, straight to Baba's office. the biggest tournament, the Young Bloods was there, the Funks was there, Brody, Hansen, Stevie Snuka, the Road Warriors. I mean, they that tournament, I think, is the biggest that they did, big time, was, I believe, 2 weeks.
Wow.
And sold out everywhere. Wow. So it was like tournament, you know, of the tour. What experience, brother, what experience. And then later, when the tournament finished, Baba talked to Abdullah and says, I'd like to have the kid again in January for the whole month. And Abby Abdullah come to me and say, you like to come back to Japan? I said, I want to stay here. You know, I want to stay here. And by that time, brother, by that time, they give me $2,500 a week, you know, and I was making nothing here. Then you jump from zero to 1,000. It's like, whoa, you know, you don't want to go. So I said, yes, of course, I want to come back. He said, well, let me talk to Carlos. I said, fuck Carlos, I'm here. Talk to me. You know, I don't even understand in that moment. You know, well, Carlos is the one business. They know them from a long time. It's everything by that time was new for me, you know. But, hey, I want to bring the money home. Ask me. Don't ask Carlos. So once I work over there, Abby did this, what is it called, betrayed me. Why he betrayed me? Because he started asking me, say, what happened over there? And I said, well, business are slow a little bit. By that time, I was already babyface over here. The bookers was by that time Leo Bird. Then Eric Embry was the booker too. I mean, they changed many bookers, and the business by that time was slow.
Right.
Because everybody was kind of a piss with the company. This is before Brody accident.
Okay.
Or Brody accident, you know, me. Yeah. So when they, I said to Carlos, Abdullah said to me, what happened over there? I said, well, business are bad, no money, I'm behind, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, and he started asking me questions. So I was sincerity with him. So when we come back to, we back to Carlos, he already called Carlos and told him that I was pissed with the company and blah, 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 blah. So he closed the doors for me in Japan. I noticed what happened because Carlos can't wait to talk to me. So when I arrived, we arrived straight, it was a Saturday, and we fly from Japan straight to the Puerto Rico big show. So I never went home. I went straight to the building that night, and I have to work Abdullah. So Carlos, before I went to the ring, a couple hours before, he called me inside and said, what happened? I said, what happened with what? He said, what happened over there? And I said, well, we wrestled here, there. He said, no. What happened with Abdullah? And so he never asked the question straight. He went around and around instead to say, hey, you talk to Abdullah and you say this, and what happened here? So he's like, what happened? What happened with what? And, you talk to Abdullah. I said, oh, yeah. And why are you telling that? I said, well, I tell him because that's the truth. I'm behind here. And he asked me if I'm going to wrestle over there again. I said, yes. You know? And but you shouldn't tell him that. I said, well, I'm being sincere with him because he asked me, how is the business in Puerto Rico? And I said, well, they are bad, and you know that. So he got a kind of a piss, you know. Nothing happened. The conversation don't went long, you know. And that afternoon, I knew right there, I said, this motherfucker, Abdullah. You know, so I said, and we have a match, and brother, that match was shooting. We shoot each other because when I have the opportunity, I put my foot on his face, boom, you know, and he was chopping me, you know, the straight with the fingers in my throat, and I was kicking, and you know, we hit each other a little bit, and Then after that, I didn't even talk to him no more. I said, fuck you, you know. And, you know, things are happening in the business, you know.
Right.
He having more experience than me, you shouldn't do that, you know. If you're going to take care of somebody, you take care of somebody for, you know, 100%. No 98%. And use the other two to fuck him, you know.
Yeah.
So I noticed right there, this is a motherfucker. So, yeah. And that's, things like that is good to happen in wrestling and in life too, because right. you learn how to take care of yourself.
Right.
And mm-hmm. how you take care of yourself and how you take care of others. What to do and what not to do. So, you know, I took that as experience years later, no? In the moment, you come to be defenseless, and you have, I mean, no defenseless. You want to defense yourself.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't even talk to him no more. I said, fuck you. And years later, then we talk a little bit. Now, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Some of the stories that happened to me in this business.
So, Savia, I got a quick question.
Yes.
When it comes to the impact that we all know that Puerto Rico style of wrestling has made just across the board with wrestling, what do you see in the next 5-10 years? Like if you had to make a quick list of what you want to see as far as either more contributions with Puerto Rico talent, either, you know, doing stuff in New Japan or maybe more in the States, or it being presented more often than what we've seen in most recent years. Do you have any type of wishes like that?
Mira, right now, I have my company. We open IWA again, mm-hmm. and we start running two shows a month. We just wrestled last night in my West Side area, and we have two more shows because July 13 we have the Summer Attitude show.
Okay.
Which is a little big show. You know, we're going to bring some guys from the States. Carlos Colon, they're still running their company.
Mm-hmm.
They still have TV. They have some commitment with television for life, I guess. Huh. And Eddie Colon and Orlandito, they're taking care now the booking and I guess the money. So huh. it's going to be a big time competition here in Puerto Rico. What I like to see the kids learn more to work with the people, how mm-hmm. to get that wrestling job inside the ring like the old timers. Right now, the kids want to do just jumping. They look more like a gymnastic than wrestling.
Right.
They mm-hmm. want to be jumping and mm-hmm. jumping, and you see ankles broken, knees gone, arms, necks, you know, more than 30 years back.
Yeah.
You know, 30 years ago, you don't see nobody hurt. Nobody.
Yeah.
Because, you take care of your partner, and your partner take care of you. Taking care of you. Right now, these kids want to do crazy stuff that they see in the games and stuff like that. And when they come to reality, yes, some maybe land in their feet, but another land in their faces,
yeah.
you know, and that's when the problem comes. So I try to teach my crew how to do and how to take care of themselves inside the ring using the old stuff, because if you use it and you sell it, they buy.
Yeah.
If you don't sell it, they're not going to buy.
Right.
So, you know, how to get that expression in the face and, you know, a lot of many things. So I wish, of course, that the kids learn that. I work in my hometown, Vega Alta, with the mayor, and they put me now in the sports area to teach wrestling.
Awesome.
So I'm going to come, you know, in a couple of months,
wow.
We're going to build a new ring, and I'm going to start teaching wrestling myself. That's going to be my new job to do that. So at the same time, I believe life is like somehow got the, ¿cómo se dice?
Dígame.
Oh, my God. See, la vida te empuja. I think the life like pushing you that way to be in the ring to teach.
Right.
You know, it's not that I want them to do what I do. No, you know, but take care of the business, because if they continue doing that, they're going to kill the business. Yeah. They're going to kill it. Mm-hmm. And it's nobody, brother. And I'm telling you, it's nobody here in Puerto Rico. Nobody. They're watching the matches and teach these kids. Why? Because they don't know. They could watch the match, but what they could teach you. What they're going to tell you is, no, next time, don't jump from the second. Jump for the third.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're going to do. Yeah. They're not going to teach him, take care of yourself like this. Don't stand up over here. They don't know when they have a hard camera for TV. Hey, that's hard camera right there. Mm. So you facing that camera right there. Do not grab the guy and look the crowd. You know, it's more people in that lens right there than here in the building. Yeah. So work TV. You know, nobody teaching that. Nobody teaching a referee how to stand up here or there. Before I saw some of the kids here, companies, they call me to go wrestle with them, you know, small buildings. So I go all the time, and I try to watch the matches and teach them, you know, here, there.
Yeah.
What I see is they pushing the referee all the time. I say, guys, do not touch the referee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but we're going to do a spot like this. I say, no matter. Go touch a referee in a football game or basketball game or baseball game. What's going to happen to you? You're going to be fired. You're going to be out. You're going to be, out of the game. So why you have to touch the wrestling referee? Oh, because they do high spots like this, and you hit the referee. Yeah, but that have a meaning.
It has to have a story behind it.
Why they're going to do that. Exactly. Yeah. It's a story behind. Not because you want to do it because that's the best thing, you know, thought that you have in the moment and hit the referee. I say, you want to do heel stuff? Do the heel stuff. Use the wrestling rules.
Yeah.
You know, straight, and it's going to work, but do not touch the referee. One of the most important person in that ring is that referee. Because if he's not there to do the final count, like so many times we know, the referee fucked up and he stopped on two when supposed to go to three. And that moment, everybody look at the referee, you motherfucker, of course. So when they do it right, everybody's happy. So that guy right there is very important. He needs to know what's going to happen in the match so he knows where to stand up, how to take care. Lately, 3 years ago maybe, what happened to the Aguayo, Perro Aguayo Jr. In Mexico.
Yeah.
What happened to this guy now in London?
Yeah.
Referees don't know.
Yep.
The referee don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the guy, Perrito, in Mexico. You know, when that happened, Conan is pushing. The referee never watched the tape. When I watch it, why I say this? Because when I have the IWA, I learned too in WWE, and we don't have no trainers by that time in the 90s. We don't have no trainers.
Right.
So what I developed was to my referees, if somebody got knocked out there, I mean, you have to protect it right away. If somebody got hurt and he said, no, I'm okay, I'm going to continue, you're going to notice in the boys. If they go, oh, no, I'm this and that, stop it. Stop the match. Oh, because I'm going to win the title. I don't give a fuck. You win it tomorrow. You know, one of the examples that I always say it, when late Owen Hart gave the tombstone to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
You know, the Steve was, he can't even move. And they continue with the stopping where he roll up, you know, and pin in 1, 2, 3. Why? I mean, if you hurt. So, because I'm going to win the title. I mean, I know Austin don't have that in the moment, but that was the idea.
Right.
So, hey, if you hurt, you hurt. You know, do not touch it. Flash Flanagan. Slash Venom, we call him over here. when Ricky Banderas, they do the spot, he went from the second floor to the table. He missed completely the table and hit his head in the floor. When I saw that, I was the manager of him. When that happened, what I did, I just, you know, on top of him and even touch it. And you could watch that video too. I start yelling at him, looking at him. I know he's knocked out, but I don't know what's going on. You know, he got deeply injuries. I start yelling at him. If you notice, you're going to see all the referees coming out. Because I always tell them, if something happened there, you guys got to go out there. Because they want to protect the business or whatever, to say, you know, back and forth in the dressing room or take care of the situation is the ref. So if you see that video, you see the referees around, and right away I start directing traffic. I send one of the referees to the second floor to Ricky. I said, tell Ricky to stay there.
Yeah.
And I start talking to Flash, and I say, hey, brother, you okay? You okay? So he said, yeah. I say, stay there. Do not move. Don't move. I say, where you at? Where you at? What he say? He say, Louisville. I say, stay there. I remember saying, stay there. Do not move. Now he start laughing. He start laughing at me. He say, I'm in Puerto Rico. I say, okay, you okay? So I said to the other referee, I say, tell Ricky to come down. Do not touch it. Just pin him. You know, but do not move him. Just pin him. So we finish this. So I said to Slash, stay there. I said, no, I'm okay. I said, no, you're okay. You stay there. So here come this is, brother, a full house. People are yelling. The people are like looking to the guy. Oh my God, he's dead. You know. So here come Ricky, and fucking Ricky. I said, you know, I think the message was there, but he just like jumped on him, cover him like a maniac. 1, 2, 3, people happy. And the best part is here, you know, we continue with the story. Here I come with the bat to hit Ricky in the back. And right there, Ricky is raising his head. And I just grab Ricky. I hit him with the bat right on top of his nose. And he stopped bleeding. Brother, he stopped bleeding like a pig. And I said, oh my God, you could see the el chorrito de sangre. ¿Cómo se diría
eso? The little trickle of blood. You could see it.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I went, oh my God. So I put pressure right there, you know, walking towards with him towards to the ring. So I put pressure on him, you know, and a little bit I say, what the heck? You're going to bleed anyway. And right there, I punch you. Boom. we continue with the story of what we're going to do inside the ring, you know. So, but at the same time, I was telling, you know, I told the referee to take Slash back to the dressing room, you know, and we used that as a story for the week after. You know, and that was big time. The news covered that too here in Puerto Rico. You know, wrestler was throwing for the second floor, blah, 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 you know. And that gave us a little publicity, you know. But talking about what you said before about the Brody, that day, brother, is a sad day, big time. I don't know to say right now the. I'm part of that story, sad story. Because I always arrive early to the building because I never let the people see my face. I use a mask, a hockey mask. No hockey for the call. You know, you just the ninja. I call them the ninja mask. you only you see the eyes.
Yeah.
So. Because I paint my face, so the people only see me with the painting or with the mask, and I'm out of the building, by the way. So that day, I was there 5 o'clock in the building. The show started 8:30. I took my time, you know, put my stuff over there to paint my face. Here the guys arrive from the hotel. I say, I don't know, 15 minutes maybe. Thinking in time now, that's when Jose, you know, went to the not the dugout area, but, you know, halfway maybe,
right,
and come back with the towel and call Frank, you know, hey, can I talk to you? Like, all the time, that was the...
To go over.
La manera. Yeah, let's talk about the finish. Oh, the finish, stuff like,
yeah,
that, you know?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, so all the time, you know, this company taking care of the kayfabe big time, you know? So when you want to talk to somebody, you know, you go private and sit down over there and discuss everything. So I saw the Jose call Frank, and they went to the showers. So I went to the other side, which was the bathroom area and the sink area. The mirrors was there. So they are in the other side of in the showers, a completely upper side, you know, no upper side, the other side. I mean, yeah, it was divided, the showers and the bathroom area. So here we hear a big, whoa. I thought, to be honest, and I don't know why, that Frank was jumping on Jose. Because it was kind of an asshole, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why I thought that happened in that moment, you know. And so I run out of this area towards the bathroom because everybody start yelling, hey, what happened? Oh, yeah, you know. So when we run inside, I pushed the guys and I went in all the way inside. And here on the left side of the showers was Jovica grabbing Invader by the waist.
Wow.
Carlos was in the middle of Brody. Brody was on the right side. Tony Atlas was on the right side. And Carlos was kind of in the middle. And that's when I saw Jose with the big knife and tried to cut Frank. You know, he shoot the knife to his head. But when he grabbed him by the ponytail, he cut the ponytail. Mm. Not the whole ponytail, but cut, you know, some of the hair, you know.
Right.
Because he have a long hair. Mm-hmm. When he shoot the knife, cut a little bit. So that's when Frank could get out of there. So when Frank coming out, grabbing his belly, he tried to walk to the dugout area, to the ring area. So as I remember, I say to him, don't go there. That's a ring area. So the doctor just arrived and say, stay here. I went outside with Chris Youngblood to the office, which was next door. Right there, I started banging on the door. Nobody was there. So I rushed run to the front of the building, and here come the manager of the building. And I say, you know, I was so nervous. I was yelling at him, I need to, you know, call the ambulance, somebody stop, you know, Invader stop, I say to him. Brody, and he say, where? Let me see. I say, well, you don't have to see nothing. Call the fucking ambulance. You know?
Right.
And so the person was there to call the ambulance. By that time, he in Puerto Rico wasn't that 911 stuff like that, you know? Mm. Next building, which is the Rubén Rodríguez Coliseum, was Menudo, which was one of the singer group here in the island.
Yeah.
And they have the ambulance, they have all that stuff over there. So when they call, they is like always, they told the, you know, another blah 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 with wrestling, you know. And the ambulance took maybe, I don't know, 45 an hour to arrive.
Oh, wow.
Maybe less, you know.
Wow.
But Brody was there laid down, and the doctor, I remember Dr. Gonzalez, look at the wound and he say it's bad.
Wow.
It's bad because you see bubbles coming out of his wound, you know.
Damn.
And when that happened, it's like the stomach got punched, yep, you know.
Yeah.
And so here the ambulance arrived. They took Frank to the hospital, and they, you know, did the operation, and looked like, you know, what they say, that he was through the night bleed inside somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And next day, I mean, the show took place in the Lubian Stadium that night. Next day, we went to Mayagüez to wrestle.
I arrived. I was the first one to arrive in Berlin. I didn't even know who to call, you know. So I remember I finished with the police about 3 something in the morning, because after there they took us to the police station to interview everybody. So I remember it was almost 3:30 in the morning. So I went home about noon already. I sleep and wake up early in the morning, got ready, and I went to Mayagüez. Soon I arrived, put my bag in the dressing room, and I went to the front of the building. Because Isaac Rosario, the ones that I mentioned before, he worked for the company. So I asked him, I say, do you know anything about Brody? And he say, yes, he passed away. Oh, God. I went like, I said, what? No way. Don't tell me that, please. He said, yeah, they called he probably bleeding inside, and he passed away.
Wow.
Brother, I just that walk from the front of the building to the back in the dressing room was long. I was going, you know, and I sit down in that chair, and he arrived, Jubica, Carlos, and Invader. They just arrived. When they arrived, I went to Carlos. I said to Carlos, do you know that he passed away? He said, yes. And Jose is like, nothing happened, you know. Hey, I'm like, what the fuck, you know. I just sit down there. None of the guys from the the States, all the guys that were booked, nobody say they're not gonna come to the show.
Yeah.
So they cancel the show, and I just sit down there. I didn't even change. I just sit down there, you know, waiting. And here come Carlos, and they know the boys say they're not gonna come. So they say the show got canceled. And I just grabbed my bag right away and just walked straight to my car and left right away.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
That happened the night after, you know. And I don't even remember what happened to me and what happened that, you know, I just went crazy. I just went, you know, this situation
got me so stressful, because then the court, you know, the only guy that they have like as a witness was me.
Yeah.
Carlos, of course, and Jovica, but they are in Jose's side. I was, and you know, I was a witness, so I have to say the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm for this side or the other side. I just a witness. So I hear the family don't want to do nothing. They don't want to come down to do nothing. I'm like, well, I'm the only one here, because what happened with the other people? They didn't even fly nobody, you know, to come down. So I went to court, and they asked me this question, so I answered the right questions. I don't have to lie. I don't lie there. If we have the chance to see my testimony, you know, it's gonna be the same one that I say to everybody.
Yeah.
And I remember the judge says, well, you finish. Brother, I wasn't there any less than 15 or maybe 20 minutes.
Wow.
To be honest. Yeah. Judge says, you could stay or you could go home. I said, no, I'm going home. So I went to the bathroom, and they do a rest, a recess right there.
Wow.
I went to the bathroom. When I went to the bathroom, here come Invader with the lawyers, and he grabbed my hand and shake my hand. He said, thank you. I said, thank you for what? I said, do you know that you have a kid? You know, this is in Spanish. He was a father too. You know, by the time I didn't even have I have kids. But I said, you know, he's a father too, you know, and he don't care what the fuck, you know.
Yeah.
But one day between before the court, here come from Ponce, the same way that I was taking Frank before, you know, and here coming, you listen to music, come this music, in where it's like the guy talking about his son, brother, I start crying crying. Mm. The stress that I have, and coming in the highway, so I have to take this left turn, and I do that without seeing. I didn't even see, you know. I just what is it called? Empañado.
Empañado como mojado.
Sí, mojado. Estaba, no veía bien. Yo no veía
bien. Oh, like, because as I were very watery, like very, see almost.
I could, and so when I took that left, I just went all the way from the left lane to the right shoulder to park because I can see. But I did that, brother. I did that without put my signal light or nothing. I just went crazy. I didn't even know the car coming or not. I just went from one side to the other, and I start crying and crying and crying and crying till I, relax. Then I continue my way home. I remember one of the dates that we went to the courthouse. They rest. They say, well, we're going to be the card. I don't know what happened. So they say, you guys could go home. They're going to tell you when to come back. It was like noon, and it was hot, big time. I was inside my bed with my blanket covering me and was shaking. Wow. I was shaking big time. I mean, shaking like a leaf in a hurricane. Wow. You know, I was shaking. I mean, crazy. And that was the stress that I was carrying me, you know, in my head. And my ex-wife was, relax, start crying. I mean, the situation of being there touched me big time. Why? Yeah. Because I love that guy, mm-hmm. work with him. The way that he talked to me, be sincerity. You know, mm-hmm. Was big time, he was a father. After that happened, that's when I started seeing who was Frank. You know.
Yeah.
But we talked in the dressing room a few times, and like I say, taking to the town and stuff like that. I say, well, a lot of people say, oh, he was a son of a gun. I said, well, I cannot say that because he was good to me.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great person to me, talked to me, taking care of me. So, I cannot say that. He took me when we went to Japan. He took me to this place where the guy worked with Pearl. He said, you want to give him a good gift to your wife? Come with me. And I went with him to this place in Japan where the guy worked with Pearl, you know. And he talked to me, showed me everything. I buy something there because he was telling the guy to prepare something with prayer for his wife.
Wow.
I remember that. And but brother, that touched me still.
Yeah.
Still, you know.
Well, Savio, I just want to say thank you for sharing that story with us.
Yes.
He would always be remembered, and it's unfortunate that happened. But he definitely created an impact into your life, and mm-hmm. and those are the memories that that will live forever. So we thank you for that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sam.
What was I always said? Why the family want to do something?
Yeah,
you know, I feel like I was the only one, you know, tried to do something, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, because Carlos was on Jose's side, and Jovica, you know.
Yeah.
But I think God or something have them, maybe the karma, mm-hmm. have them still alive, you know, in living life. What is it called? Yeah, alive. Because something's gonna happen. I don't know.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
the Vinceland video come out, and they expose an idea of the Frank was to buy the company. I never hear about that. That he was buying the company.
Huh.
People say, "Oh, it was about money." I don't know if it was about money, because if it was about money, that was business between him and the company.
Right.
You know, I don't have to do nothing with that. But I never hear that it was about money. Now they sport, we're going to call it, they talk about was that Frank was the buy the percentage of Gorilla Monsoon, right. And they want to fire people. That's new to me. You know, I hear something the invest in the company, yeah. But I never, you know, that to be honest, it's new to me. It's new to me.
Yeah.
And the other strong theory was the when they wrestled in WWF, the old, you know, with the old Vince McMahon Jr.
Right.
Frank beat the hell out of Jose one time, and Jose was, you know, with that in his hand.
Right.
Yes. He was, you know, because Frank beat him up.
Yeah.
So when once Frank over here, this is, yes, I hear about it. They don't want the wrestlers to come in shorts, and Frank all the time come in shorts because, hey, he's coming to the island. He sees this as a paradise, so it's hot. So he come comfortable, a t-shirt and shorts.
Right.
So so they tell him, Frank, you do not come in shorts, you know, because they want the wrestlers to dress nice. It's like Carlos and Jovica, they're always with suits. But who was making them motherfucking money? Daddy, yep. You know?
Yep.
So they could afford coming with chicks. So whatever we made, so we dressed nice, you know? So Frank that day, he showed up in shorts. So that, of course, was premeditated by him. One of the things that I see, you know, through the years, you hear questions, you hear people talking about and this and that. Jovica never was in the dressing room. Never. Mm-hmm. He was always in the front selling tickets. And that day he was there.
Wow.
Sitting down there. So he knew, and I know that motherfucker knows something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And another fucking, I'm pissed off, Ronald. Sorry, but
that's
thinking of that made me pissed too, you know, and they say it was a self-defense, you know, right. And yeah. Brody bring that knife because they have the knife in his purse. That purse was in the floor, close, when I saw him, and the knife that they say that Brody bring was longer than the purse. So it was impossible to hide that knife there.
Yeah.
And another thing is, if it was in self-defense, why the knife don't appear there? Why the knife disappear?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Good point.
Yep.
Well,
if you attack me with a gun or a knife or whatever,
yeah.
And I have the chance to take it from you and use it against you, why are you going to hide it?
Right.
That's yep. true.
Why? Yeah. I mean, fuck.
And,
so, well, obvious. Right there. Yes, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to really thank you, you know, for bringing this all up and bringing it to light. You know, like you were saying, you know, this is truly how you keep someone's memory alive. And
mm-hmm.
you know, we carry forth. And,
yeah.
you know, the follow-up question I was asking you is, you know, how do you commemorate him? And it seems like just keeping his story alive, keeping those good memories you have of him. And you know, really thank you for giving us this time to listen to these stories.
Yeah.
If you see my phone, I have many, many photos of him in my phone, you know, because I like the guy, man. I still like the guy, man.
Yeah, I understand. Let me ask you this, Savio, because we're going to be ending soon. We appreciate the stories and everything. Do you have?
And I'm talking too much.
No, you're okay. You're fine.
Can you give us all of your social media handles?
They could look for me at Savio Vega on Twitter, Instagram, like Tio, T-I-O, like uncle, is a Tio Savio Vega.
Okay.
In Instagram, and they could watch all the crazy stuff that we're doing here.
Got you.
We want to have good shows.
Yeah,
wrestling for the world.
Savio, we appreciate you for again coming on. We got to have you back because it seemed like you have a lot of stories and we want to hear them all.
Oh.
So we definitely going to have you back. Yeah. And until then, and Don Ramon, thank you also for helping out as well. And
of course,
yes.
You did all the translating for me. I don't have to do anything.
I know.
Sitting here enjoying the stories. Oh,
I
my
know,
God.
Right? Awesome.
So with that, stay tuned and listen to some of these events that might be in your area.
This is Ironheart Douglas James. I am a Santino Bros Wrestling alumni. And on August 17th, we are putting on Put Up or Shut Up. And every time I go out there, I show out, show up, and I put up or shut up. So check out the show on August 17th in Southgate, California.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Darwin Finch just reminding you here to catch Wrestling Pro Wrestling at the Burbank Moose Lodge every third Friday of every month.
Earthlings of Las Vegas, please check out FSW July 20th. We're here in Las Vegas. Your Warlord of Weird loves FSW, and I encourage you all to come and check out one heck of a show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Simon Street with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Here to let everybody know, it has just been announced that FSW and Impact Wrestling will be holding another tryout on Wednesday, September 4th. This is just 2 days prior to the Impact tapings on September 5th and 6th. Again, FSW and Impact Wrestling will be holding tryouts on September 4th. That's a Wednesday, y'all. Get out there, show them what you got. You never know, anything could happen.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.